The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were deceived and somehow led away to mute idols. Therefore, I am informing you that no one speaking by God's Spirit says, "A curse be upon Jesus." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. There are various kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of ministries, and yet the same Lord. There are various kinds of activity, but the same God who produces all of them in every one. Each person is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one person, a message of wisdom is given by the Spirit, to another, a message of knowledge, as the same Spirit provides it. By the same Spirit, faith is given to someone else, and to another, the same Spirit gives healing gifts. Another is given power to do miracles, another the gift of prophecy, another the evaluating of spirits, someone else different kinds of tongues, and another the interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them to each one individually as he desires. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is not uncommon for people to think that if the Bible is true, then there should be lots of miracles. The Bible records many unusual signs and wonders that God has performed. The way the thinking goes is that if the Bible is true concerning these things, then these miracles should still be happening. It's understandable how a person could arrive at such an opinion, but it is not right. The Bible does indeed record unusual things that God did, but God does not always work through unusual means. In fact, he only rarely uses unusual means. All the other times, he works through ordinary means. Ordinary means would be those ways that do not appear unusual. Adam and Eve, for example, simply told their children what God had revealed to them. Abraham told Isaac about the covenant that God had made with him. We tend to think that speaking is not a big deal. We do it all the time. It can seem as though God is not involved in that kind of thing at all, because he does not come with thunder and lightning and smoke like he did at Mount Sinai. To illustrate God's ordinary means, we should say something about how God works in the Old Testament after the time of Moses. God gave the Israelites the tabernacle / temple. He prescribed priests and sacrifices for them. This was the way that God's holiness was communicated to them. So it is also with the New Testament. Jesus instituted and commanded baptism as a new birth in the Holy Spirit. Jesus instituted and commanded us to observe the Lord's Supper. He says that the Lord's Supper is the New Testament in his blood for the forgiveness of sins. These, together with preaching, are the ordinary means for Christians to receive God's grace and holiness. But, as the saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt. These ordinary means that God uses to communicate his will toward us, his grace and favor toward us, they become boring. Our reason starts to think that they must not be that valuable because they are so common. Only those things that are rare are valuable, and the word and the sacraments are given out quite liberally. And there's no bill that gets sent out for services rendered. And so Christians might go hankering after something a little more exotic, a little more uncommon. So when we read a portion of the New Testament, like our reading today from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we might think, well, that should do the trick. Paul speaks of spiritual gifts. Among these gifts are messages of wisdom, knowledge, and faith. He also speaks of some spicier gifts. He says, "And to another, the same Spirit gives healing gifts. Another is given powers to do miracles. Another, the gift of prophecy. Another, the evaluating of spirits. Someone else, different kinds of tongues. And another, the interpretation of tongues." As you well know, these gifts have not been given to me or any of the other members of this congregation. I'm not aware of anyone who can heal. I don't know of anyone who has performed miracles. None of us have been able to know the future. When we think we do know the future, very often we are wildly wrong. No one has spoken in tongues. Since no one has spoken in tongues, there is no need to have those tongues interpreted. These were gifts that God gave to the apostolic Christian church. We hear of them not only here, but also in the book of Acts. God performed unusual signs through these earliest Christians, perhaps to confirm the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. Since these signs were present among the Christians of the apostolic church, many people get deceived into thinking that there must be something deficient about the Christian church of today. We do not have these signs, or we do not have them in like measure. This is a very dangerous and destructive deception. Although it has the appearance of being biblical, it definitely is not. There is a big difference between miracles happening and miracles being required. God is free to do miracles. The Bible tells us about them. Nowhere in the Bible do you ever hear him requiring his people to perform miracles. There is no expectation that God's people should perform miracles that are recognized as being miracles by outsiders. In fact, in the grand scheme of things, miracles are not that terribly common in the history of God's people. Since the Bible records those times in the history of God's people where God did things that were unusual, folks get the idea that miracles were happening all the time. But that is not true. The Bible is not an exhaustive minute-by-minute or even year-by-year account of each generation of God's people. There are gaps of many hundreds of years where the Bible doesn't say anything about what was going on among God's people. During those times, the people continued on with the ordinary means whereby God dealt with his people. They preached the gospel. They went to the tabernacle/temple. They observed the festivals. The people during those times were not deficient or inferior to the people of God who were living during those times when God did more unusual things. Whether God did unusual things or not does not indicate that God was more pleased or less pleased with the people living at the time that he did them. Take, for example, the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. I don't think that there has ever been a generation of people who saw more of God's signs and wonders than this generation. They saw God inflict plagues upon Egypt. They crossed through the Red Sea on dry ground. God rained down bread from heaven, made water come from a rock. They saw God's glory in the cloud and at Mount Sinai and many more. These people had miracles coming out of their ears. And yet, what does God say of them? He says that they are a stiff-necked people. He becomes so angry at them that several times he tells Moses that he's going to wipe them all out and make a people of Moses and his descendants instead. But Moses interceded for his fellow Israelites, and God did not carry through with his threats. So we should not think that the more impressive the signs, the happier God must be with us. The more unusual the signs, the more spiritual power a group of people must have. The primary thing about being the people of God is not having spiritual power. The primary thing about being the people of God is to know the will of God toward us by His word and His promises. This is the way that it has been since the beginning. It is now and will be for as long as this present age lasts. What God's people have had in common from the time of Adam and Eve is God's promise of mercy and salvation in Jesus. This word from God to us does not need signs and miracles to make it true or effective or believable. In fact, Jesus complains about the Jews at his time who are always wanting him to perform more and more miracles. He tells them that they are an evil and adulterous generation as they are hankering after miracles. He tells them that the only sign that they're going to get is the sign of Jonah. Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the fish. The Son of God would spend 3 days in the belly of the earth, dead in a tomb. How's that for a sign? Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is a miracle that doesn't suit people's fancy to this very day. Those Jews who were wanting him to perform miracles certainly would not have been impressed with him being crucified and buried. If anything, they would have taken this as a sure proof sign that Jesus was an impostor and an evildoer. He was getting his comeuppance for what they perceived to be blasphemy. The signs that they were keeping an eye out for were those signs that appeared powerful and impressive, and so they rejected the Son of God. So we must not judge God and find his ways unsatisfactory because they don't match up with what we think would be powerful and effective. Folks want flashy signs, and barring that, they tend to think that spiritual gifts do not exist at all. That's another problem. This is another error that we must be on guard against. Some people know that the crazy things that are touted among Pentecostals, for example, are not right, but then they fall off the horse on the other side. They don't think that God is involved in the lives of his people. Paul begins our reading today by saying, "I do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, concerning spiritual gifts." Spiritual gifts exist. Some of the spiritual gifts that he goes on to mention were special to that particular time in the history of God's people. We see this kind of thing elsewhere in the history of God's people. It's like it was at the time when God manifested himself to the Israelites at Mount Sinai, as I mentioned. He did tremendous and unusual things there before them, but it didn't remain that way. Later in the history of God's people, there weren't these unusual things. So it is with the time of the apostles. At the time, there were unusual signs. We should not expect, though, and we certainly should not require, that such signs should be done among God's people today. On the other hand, there are spiritual gifts that are present among God's people. Paul says that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Here we have something that is certainly not a flashy sign. Saying that Jesus is Lord is hardly going to impress anyone, but it can only be said by the Holy Spirit. Paul also speaks about wisdom, about knowledge, about faith. These come from the same Holy Spirit. These also can be very easily despised. It is very common for people to think that it's no big deal to believe that Jesus is Lord. Knowing Scripture is not highly regarded as a life skill. Having God's wisdom is often thought to be terribly impractical, according to worldly thought. Regardless of what our reason thinks of these gifts, though, they are gifts from the Holy Spirit. They are present among God's people. Paul also speaks about spiritual gifts in his epistle to the Christians in Galatia. He says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." These gifts, which are given to those who believe in Christ, are priceless. They renew our sin-sick hearts. They bring about miracles of selfless love and sacrifice, but they are not terribly flashy. If you compare these fruits of the Spirit to lightning coming out of your fingertips, you know that the world is going to be more impressed with the lightning. But the world is stupid. It doesn't know what is truly good. The Corinthians to whom Paul is writing in our epistle reading have the same flesh and blood as anybody else, and so it seems that Paul is gently teaching them not to overestimate flashy gifts and instead to crave those gifts that are beneficial to others rather than those gifts that are just likely to puff up the one to whom the gifts have been given. Our reading today is from chapter 12. In the very next chapter, chapter 13, Paul says that the spiritual gifts that they should really want above all others is love. 1 Corinthians 13 is the so-called love chapter, which is fairly well known. This is where he says things like love is patient, love is kind, it's not puffed up, it does not seek its own, love never ends. The Corinthians were looking for those gifts that would make them appear great in the eyes of their fellow man, but that is not right. The one who is great is quite different. It's the one who loves. Jesus says, "Whoever would be greatest among you must become as the least. Whoever wishes to be first must become as a slave. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." So we must be on guard against two things that our flesh more easily believes rather than the truth. Our flesh thinks that either Christians should be doing miracles every day of the week and twice on Sundays in order to be genuine and believable. That's the one extreme that we are prone toward. The other extreme is that God doesn't work at all. It's as though there are no spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts that are always present among God's people are not recognized as being miracles. Spiritual gifts are thought to be only those that are flashy and unusual, like speaking in tongues, or like dreams, or miracles of healing. But the truth is that spiritual gifts do indeed exist. God gives them to those whom he has chosen for salvation. But they are not readily apparent to outsiders. They might not even be all that apparent to ourselves as we are doing battle against the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. But the Holy Spirit is quietly at work in the people of God. He is healing them from their unbelief and sin sickness. It's like when a seed is sown into the earth and it sprouts and then there's leaves and then comes the ear. So also the Holy Spirit works through his word and sacrament. Quietly and unassumingly, the Holy Spirit gradually increases our faith toward God and our fervent love toward one another. So we must not be led astray on this important topic that so easily becomes obscured in our day due to the Pentecostals on the one hand and rank unbelievers on the other. God reveals his will toward us in his word and sacraments. That's the way that he's always done it. This is his usual means of dealing with his people. He can also deal with us in unusual ways, but we should not expect that, and we certainly should not require it. He gives his Christians those spiritual gifts that Paul talks about, but sometimes we have a hard time seeing them, and unbelievers hardly ever recognize them. But these common gifts that cause us to be believing toward him and loving toward our neighbor, these are the best gifts that God gives. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.